Hey, 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 it's Yogi Bear, and welcome to our morning show. Here's Leanne. She thinks I've lost my mind, and it's only, a minute into the show, not even. I haven't gone crazy. It's Monday. Don't you remember Yogi Bear?
Yes, of course I do.
Yeah, he'd go, hey, hey there, it's Yogi Bear. Don't you remember?
I do.
Yeah, well, why do you look at me like I'm a mental fucking patient?
Well, it did kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, you know, I wasn't watching TV. In the 90s.
All right. Well, okay. Then I'll start.
Or was it
start
even again. The 80s?
Let's just start again. All right. Hey, everybody. Hi. We didn't just have a false start or anything. Good morning. Monday after a weekend. I hope you got to relax and do as little as possible. Be around cool people. Spend time with family. Eat some nice food. Do some nice things. Or if you were just miserable and lonely and sad and pathetic, maybe this show is not the place for you. Maybe you're also not going to find the solace you crave here. You see, because we're not those kind of people.
No.
Waiting to welcome you in with open arms.
No, we don't really care.
No, it's quite a brutal place, actually. If you don't believe me, just go to the comments section. You'll see how brutal this place can be. All right. So Leanne is here and she's brought an enormous cup.
Yes.
Like you thought Simpiwe's Stanley Cup was huge. Just look at this thing.
It's
what is that, 7 liters of water?
No, I think it's one.
Oh, just the one?
I think it's just one.
Sure.
I didn't join the Stanley Cup thing on purpose. I was gifted this by a client.
Okay, well that's nice then.
It's actually I'm using it for the first time today and it fills my perfectly full fridge jug.
Okay.
And apparently keeps it cool. So today will be the test.
All right, very good.
And it survives fires, which I face on a daily basis.
There we go. So you're always putting out fires. It is interesting. You're starting to get those signs that summer's coming, right? Mm. Like all the shoots and the trees and the birds and the different kind of light you get in the morning and all this kind of thing, which I love.
Well, you
I
can
love.
See now when you drive in.
Yes, that's true.
You know, because we still seem to have a problem with electricity.
Especially you, because you come in at 5 past 6 most.
That's in that time. What time we start?
No, 6. But okay, but glad you asked that we could sort that out. but I've noticed also that people are already starting to say, "Oh, it's going to be a very hot summer." you know how people complain. So you're going to need this cup with all that cold water in it.
Yeah, I will.
It's essential. This is the kind of stuff you have to start planning for summer. Mm. So get into it. I won't say that I have succeeded in getting myself summer ready. Because summer's around the corner now and I'm not ready.
Yeah, well.
In terms of the way I look and feel. But I'll get there. I'll get there and give myself a chance. Have you seen how your old friend Mighty Jamie's brain has been falling out last week when he invaded Ronaldo's privacy in a restaurant somewhere, says Mfundo. No, I haven't. I don't really go on Twitter on weekends because I like being happy. And I don't pay attention to other people and their shenanigans. Is that really what happened, Mighty
Ronaldo,
Jamie?
Ronaldo, as in the Ronaldo?
Ronaldo Jose.
Oh.
I assume. So, Fundo, I'm glad you let me in on that. But I don't care. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I think it's pathetic that Mighty Jamie has decided that he is the antidote to Ronaldo Jose, who he believes is the world's greatest racist.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah, and it's just, these are such internecine battles between people that I don't have a relationship with, you know? Mm. I'm going to try and, just let me try and care. Wait.
Oh, can you hear something gurgling?
No.
It's my stomach, sorry.
I can't, but I do think if he did that, if he walked up to him in a restaurant and made a thing, oh, you're racist. I just think that's so pathetic. You know, let's just imagine someone going up to Adolf Hitler in a restaurant going, you're a really evil person. And Hitler going, do you mind? I'm busy with my steak.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't give two damns.
It's just pathetic. It's if someone is a real threat, then you need to do more than just go up to them in a restaurant posture. But I don't think this guy is a real threat. And you're tilting at windmills. You're like Don Quixote if this is what you're fighting ever smaller dragons because you are You're like a crusader nobody asked for. You know, imagine waking up in the morning and nobody on earth needs you to rescue them. Nobody on earth needs you to stand up for them. Nobody's thinking about you. And yet you go about your day like you're some kind of hero. It's like, it's just a very sad way to go. You know those sad people I was talking about at the beginning of the show just a minute ago? This is the kind of thing. So yeah, okay. Very, very nice. I mean, it's so bad. Anyway, Mighty Jamie's lost his mind. It's a sad decline to watch. Yeah, but you see, he obviously got like a huge dopamine spike from some attention on an internet thing. And now he thinks that's what he's going to focus on. And this will always sustain his life and bring in money. And, you know, he'll be able to monetize his internet notoriety. And I got bad news. Like, that doesn't happen anymore. See, the fact is fame has become so cheap.
Exactly. Anyone can have it. We've been having it.
Fame is so cheap these days. There used to be a time where, like, if you wanted to be famous, you had to be very clever, very funny, very talented.
You had to know someone.
You had to know someone. You had to know something. You had to do really impressive stuff. And now you could be the hawk tour girl.
I was just about to say.
Have you heard she's got a podcast? Yeah. And it's called?
Talk to her.
Talk to her. Promise you, look it up, guys. You don't believe me? The Hawk Tour Girl. Now, because fame is so cheap, you got people like Mighty Jamie, who, you know, I thought he was an interesting dude to listen to. He had one or two useful points to make. We used to invite him to events and things. I mean, now I think I'd just ignore him if he walked past me. Because I don't have time for people who are chasing that kind of clout. I really don't. I've said to you before, like, there's one thing that I find completely unattractive about a human being. It's like clout chasing. It's just so ugly. It's so needy. It's so, please pay attention to me, please. I'm desperate for some attention. So if that's what he's doing, too bad. I don't want to think about him ever again. So can we make a deal that we don't ever think about him again on this show? That would be nice. Thanks. All right, very good. Apparently, someone says, yes, Ronaldo was waiting for a fight. This Jamie guy acted like a puss over a little word. I don't want to know anymore. Like, let's just dump it out of there, all right? Got some other things to talk about. I've got a funny video. You know, they keep telling us, like, AI is going to take over, right?
Yeah.
But AI is so dumb.
Yeah, no, it's still very stupid. For the smaller things, it's great. But when
it's a video, like a TikTok reel or or an Instagram reel or something about the Palace of Versailles. So whoever's reading this manages to pronounce Versailles right, but it's AI that's reading it.
Okay.
Because it's like this animated voice, but it's not very animated. It's like if you met someone and they were actually a computer inside. Hi, Leanne, how are you? You know, that kind of thing. So you get all these videos that are, the worst is that female voice that goes, oh, wow, this guy really knew what he was doing. You're like, you know, you can get someone to actually read that. And even if they can't read, they'll be better than that voice.
Yeah.
But listen to this, because it's not that they mispronounce Versailles or anything else. They don't. Because I don't know what it is. But this voice can't say Louis the 14th. So it says something so weird that I can't figure out what it is. So the king who built Versailles is Louis the 14th, but listen to how the AI voice says it, all right? Tell me I'm going crazy here. This is proof that AI is still a long way to go, because if someone spoke to me like this, I'd think they'd been hit really hard on the head with a hammer. Take a listen.
You ever heard of a palace so lavish it's practically dripping in gold? Meet the Palace of Versailles, France's crowning jewel of opulence. Built back in the 17th century, this architectural marvel was more than just a home. It was the nerve center of French royal power under the legendary king Louis the 14th. Picture this, strolling through halls adorned.
All right, stop. Did you hear that?
Louis the 14th.
What was that?
It was built by Louis the 14th.
I love it so much. It made me laugh. I was like, whoa, wait, hang on. Because, you know, this is the kind of shit that comes up on my social media, because this is what I follow. So I'm like, oh, nice aerial shots of Versailles. I can tell that from Google Earth, which is a bit disappointing.
And you can tell that it's an AI voice. And you're following the words and you're waiting for it to make a mistake.
And I kind of wanted to like teach me something I didn't know before.
Yeah.
Which is why you watch these things. But it taught me that Louis XIV is actually pronounced Louis the XIV. Please play it again.
Trying to do?
Just play it again. I want to hear it again.
We know it's Roman numerals.
We got to get this right.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see what this is. Go.
You ever heard of a palace so lavish it's practically dripping in gold? Meet the Palace of Versailles, France's crowning jewel of opulence. Built back in the 17th century, this architectural marvel was more than just a home. It was the nerve center of French royal power under the legendary king Louis the 14th. Picture this, strolling through halls adorned.
14th.
What's that?
It's not even like if it said XI or tried to, but no, for 18.
What is it? It doesn't make any sense, but I love it. Suddenly I found a reason to like, you know, not fear AI.
Yeah.
I'm totally not afraid because if this evil monster machine is going to take over the world, it's like, we are going to kill you. And I'll get like, no, you can't. You can't even say 14th. And then smoke will come out of its ears and it'll explode. It'll be great. So now we know. NVIDIA lost 30% of its value in 3 months because investors are unhappy that their billions invested are in AI and has not produced any tangible results or impact yet. Well, I listened to a podcast called the All In Podcast. It's these four guys who are basically venture capitalists. They talk about a lot of politics, but most of their stuff is about investment, right? And they were talking about AI and how it's just not delivering the goods yet. And it's making a lot of investors very unhappy because they are used to immediately being able to reap profits from these tech companies. And this is not one of those. This is something that they people are investing huge amounts of money, long tail stuff. It's not my AI glitch.
That's how we know you're real.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I'm not invested in any AI, so I can't say I have a dog in the fight.
Mm.
But I think it's great. Let people put their money into things and get upset when their money doesn't return them.
Oh, well, what we've they seen wanted. It with so many other things.
Awesome.
Yeah.
AI will set the date to take over for the 14th of September, but then we'll be okay because the other AIs will be confused. We'll be fine, says Carl.
The 18th.
That's exactly right. Anyway, what did you get up to this weekend?
Oh, bit of this, bit of that. Ooh, oh, I have to do admin things on weekends because of office hours.
No.
So I have to go to the COJ in Santa.
Oh, man. Did you have to pay a lights bill?
No, I'm closing an account because, I've sold my home after almost 3 years, the person has finally bought it.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Went to close an account. The account's in credit, by the way, of 21,000 rand. So now it's time to reclaim that money.
Okay.
So off I go.
Good luck.
Yeah, they're not going to give you money easy.
You got to get money from the city of Joburg. It's the other way around. They try to find new ways to get your money.
And I forget when you only go there every so often, and I forget, and I go to the cashier queue by mistake.
Oh, shit.
It's always confusing and no one's telling you what's going on. Even the people sitting there.
Yeah.
Just look at, you know, the other people waiting sit there with a mouthful of teeth. No one helps each other.
Yeah.
So I get there and I say, I need to close this account. So he looks at it. He goes, how much? I'm like, how much what? How much are you paying? I said, look at the numbers. It's minus 21,000 rand.
You owe me money.
He goes, did you just walk in here? I said, yes, what was I supposed to fly in? So he says,
oh, no, this is not a good start.
No. I know already that I'm going to be in a foul mood there. This is my first encounter. Oh, so he says, well, you must wait in the queue. I said, I was in the queue. No, the other queue.
Oh.
And I turned around and I said, well, you could be friendly like your mandate says, because I've got a big printed billboard canvas thing that says number one is friendliness. I'm like, oh, well.
So that they just grumble and.
Oh, yes. So anyway, I got into the queue. Then I looked and I thought, I haven't got the right documents. I need the lawyer's letter because, of course, they won't print for you.
Oh, hell no.
Do you know how much money they could make off of printing if they printed for people? But no, you've got to get into your car and find a postnet or whatever.
Oh.
Or if I go emailing them documents, come God, up what with a miser- 22
what
pages.
What a miserable experience so far. I'm so sad.
Off by now.
Because you've gone, you've waited, you were in the wrong queue. This guy's been horrible to you. You realize you couldn't print the stuff. So you basically just wasted the whole morning.
The whole morning.
Oh.
I get back and I see the guy who was not very friendly has walked, I don't know, like a Rottweiler puppy, like a slow bear.
Like a lope.
Yes, across the road to go and get a toasted sandwich.
Yeah.
And now he's not in his seat anymore.
Right.
So I can see where he is, but no one realizes in the payments queue. He's sitting in the corner eating his toasted sandwich.
Right.
Then he helps one person. And then the guy with a tray with knickknacks and water on it comes and he stops working again and goes and buys some knickknacks. And so
wow. It's so great. So efficient.
As I get to the front, the systems go offline, don't they?
Oh.
So they said, just wait. So I waited 15 minutes and they came back online miraculously. And then they said there was the wording in my document was a little bit off. So they weren't willing to, it's supposed to instruct them to order a refund.
So just go home, Photoshop it differently. No, seriously, I'm not even kidding.
No, like it's
these
true.
These are very low grade people. So you can just take the, I know it's fraud.
I mean, I know, it's fraud.
But this is South Africa. And if the thing that's stopping you from getting the money that you're actually entitled to is the word sequence on a piece of paper, just change it. Like this is a victimless crime.
Mm.
It's your money. It's a bureaucrat. It's a government department that is inefficient from the ground up. The way to fix this is to just bend the rule. Honest to God, this is one of the few things that makes it worth living in South Africa. Am I wrong? Someone fight me on this. I'm ready to fight. Like I'll have an argument about this.
Mm.
There's got to be somebody who's got, but that's immoral and it's wrong. And you shouldn't use the letterhead of the stupid law firm that did this thing and didn't word it properly in the first place. Because if they had, you wouldn't have this problem. Dumb lawyers. Anyway, you've got to fix this. You're clever enough. Go home, get the whatever program you use on your laptop to edit stuff and just change it and go back and get it done. And then you can go, won't have to deal with that stupid city of Joburg bunch of morons for a while and run. In fact, run to your car. Get into your car and when you get in, go, yeah, I fucked the system. I love when you can fuck the system.
And you know, the thing that actually pissed me off the most was when I handed over all the paper, the 22 pages.
Oh.
She looked at the first page and said, where's your lawyer's letter? She did not bother to flip over that first page.
And it was right there.
Yeah.
It was the second page.
Mm.
See? This is why those people need to be fucked. So you've got to find ways of fucking them through the system. No, seriously, like make it a game. I love that. This sort of thing it's like a red meat to a rabid dog for me. I see the stuff and I'm like, okay, are we going to play this game? Because I'm ready. And I'll spend vast resources, time, and energy and efforts into fucking the system. Because it's so nice when you do and you're like, yes, I pulled a fast one on all those bureaucrats and lawyers and council people and assholes. Because they are. That's all they are. They're
compliance officers.
These are people who put things in the way of progress. They always think that they're part of the solution, but they are the problem.
Mm.
Come on, Leanne, make a fun game of it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'd rather waste my time that way.
Yeah.
Than any other way.
Right.
But, and you know, the thing is, you've got to keep your calm because one F word and they stop serving you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not allowed to express anything.
No, you must be an automaton like they are.
Mm. So that was fun. And that set me off for the entire weekend. I was in a bad mood.
I was one
of those people that you spoke about.
I don't blame you. I mean, this would drive me crazy, but I've become a constructive kind of crazy out of it.
Yeah, you see, this is good.
Oh, it's nice. Listen, anybody who has a better idea, let us know about it. But this is awesome. Like a hyena around a carcass. I love the challenge of incompetence, says Tracy. Yeah, that's right. Rolene says, Then when you have all the documents ready and submitted, they don't pay you and you have to go and follow up three times.
Or worse, they send you into the one in town.
Oh, my God.
Where you basically do need to pack a bag of snacks.
And spend the night.
Yeah.
People notice Herman Mashaba being a clown. He says he'd work with the ANC over his dead body. Now he's pushing to throw Chwane under the bus for his personal beef. Piece of shit. I had an argument with someone who also, I know Herman Mashaba. I've met him before a couple of times. This person also knows Herman Mashaba. And they're like, oh, how could you be so mean about Herman? Because I was like, I'm so glad I didn't vote for that stupid party. Mm. Action SA. And they were like, oh, how could you say that? I'm like, well, first of all, I didn't vote for Action SA. So
I can say it.
I can say that. Second of all, these guys have done nothing good or valuable since they have been, they've gathered their, what, 1,500 votes or whatever it was in the last election. All they're doing is going around from municipality to municipality doing exactly what they did in Joburg. And I'm glad someone brought up Herman Mashaba because it's due to him that the city of Joburg fell into complete decay and disrepair because he made friends with the EFF because he's so anti-DA that he's got a bug in his bee in his bonnet. Something's going on there. He's still very hurt and like feels victimized by the DA and he just hates them. So now the city I live in is going to be run like a spaza shop because Herman Mashaba can't get his act together and control his candidates in the city of Tshwane. It's just ridiculous. Like, these are the guys we got to fuck with. These are the people you must make it your mission to ruin them. And I don't mean like in some, you know, bureaucratic, like paperwork way, fill their day up with stress and irritation. I mean like ruin their lives, like follow them home in your car and hoot the whole way. And
put nails in the road.
Yes, like ruin. These are people who their whole purpose is to make our lives, good law-abiding citizens, difficult. So let's get them back. And if they remember, there are more of us than there are of them, right? So I don't see why we should make their lives happy. And people go, oh, but you know, they're just trying to do their job. No, they're not. If they were trying to do their job, we would be more than happy to meet them halfway. These guys are not trying to do their job. That's the whole problem. So I don't know. Anyway, someone says here, sadly, South Africa has no law, Lisa. So I don't know why you say sadly. Like, that's better, because then you can do all the illegal things that you need to get shit done. You know, a friend of mine said to me the other day, you must be careful what you wish for. Like, if you want a competent government, you're going to get that. And with it comes all those dumb things that you don't want to do. Like, remember, under COVID, there were all those restrictions, those dumb laws they made about, like, you can't get cooked chicken or wear Crocs or whatever.
Buy cigarettes.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't smoke. I wouldn't buy Woolworths chicken because I don't have millions of rands. And I would never wear Crocs. Anyway. But I'm still furious. So I'm going to do all those things just because you've told me I can't.
So there was a photograph of you outside a shop
with Crocs and smoking. Gnawing on a full carcass with a cigarette just to irritate government. No, but if you, you know, we all say, oh, we'd love to have a really competent government. And sure, that would be a wonderful thing. Imagine you can get your 21,000 rand back.
Yes.
That's yours, by the way. But it won't happen. It's not going to happen in a hurry because of these bureaucrats. So instead, I would prefer an incompetent government that you can live without. So you get your own power, your own electricity. You get a big car with tires this thick so that you can avoid the potholes.
Drive through nails.
And just figure out your own way past all these problems. I don't want a competent government. We want an incompetent one. Be careful what you wish for. Okay, so here we go. I have now been to the water department, says Lisa, 5 times a month to say, or rather because they sent me a water bill for 2,100 rand and no help.
It's all about, I don't know how you keep your calm doing that the fifth time. You know what's going on inside your body, your hormones and your adrenaline? Everything.
Yeah. I don't have advice.
I'm sorry.
I don't have advice. Maybe we can ask Dr. Hanan later on. Anyway, what do you think about the issue at the hospital, says Christian. So someone told me about this.
Helen Joseph.
Yeah, apparently some doctor posted a video. Of course, he's going to get into trouble for this.
It was a patient, I believe.
Oh, okay. Still going to get into trouble for this. Because it's funny to me how sometimes when something leaks, there's an impulse among a certain group of people to go after the whistleblower rather than the problem.
Mm.
They're like, well, yes, there are problems with the hospital, or else they don't even acknowledge that. They're like, what problems? No. The problem is that this person wasn't allowed to film inside the hospital. You're like, that's your biggest problem? Is that someone was filming all
that's
the bad
gaslighting,
stuff?
Gaslighting, really.
Yeah, it's really wrong. Oh, and speaking of gaslighting, I found this for you, which is awesome. Take a look. Pop psychology. So this is a list of things that a friend sent me, and I love all of this, right? So let's go through them one by one. Pop psychology is not psychology. I think Dr. Hanan will love this, but we'll get to him later on. Look at this. Everyone you dislike is not a narcissist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but right? He's a narcissist,
The number of times I have to hear a woman complaining about her ex being a narcissist, and I'm like, they can't all be. If all of them are narcissists, you realize you are the common denominator.
Yeah, it's not that common of a condition.
No.
It's a personality type.
Thank you. Okay, next one. Look at this. Every unpleasant experience is not trauma. Yes.
Yeah, trauma is proper.
I was standing in the queue at City of Joburg, and I'm so traumatized. Mm-mm. It's like, no, you're not. You just weren't having your nails done and your hair and driving in your BMW your husband paid for. At that moment, you were
trauma,
in an uncomfortable place.
You're
going to
forget about that queue in, I don't know, 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, correct.
Trauma is going to take a long time to get over.
Trauma you don't forget about. It's like something really, really terrible happens. And there are people who are victim to some traumatic things. And probably you're not one of them, right? So calm down. Next one. Having needs does not make you codependent. I think that speaks for itself. Disagreement, here's to your point earlier, disagreement is not gaslighting.
No.
Right?
Gaslighting is more like when you've come up with a problem and that person turns around and says, yes, but you did this. For instance, you shouldn't have taken that photo inside the hospital.
Yeah, it's my fault. Well, it comes from a movie, gaslighting.
That's right.
Where the husband in the movie keeps on turning down the gaslight on the stairs, and this woman's like, it's getting dimmer in here. And he's like, no, it's not.
Mm.
That's gaslighting. Okay. So he's basically lying to her. And then when she asks him, he won't tell her the truth. And she thinks she's going crazy.
He's making her out to be losing her mind. Exactly. One point on that before we go on. I saw a story about this woman who's, she sent in a letter to like an agony aunt.
Yeah.
She said, am I crazy for getting divorced over the fact that my husband tightens the jars too much so that I can't open them. And you think, okay, this woman's, that is a bit of a shame, you know?
Oh.
But as it turns out, he's been doing this for years and years and years, tightening every jar in the cupboard, telling her that she tightened them like that.
Wow.
And just years and years and years of this gaslighting until a neighbor one day, while her husband's out of town, pops by to see that everything's fine. And she says, can you open this jar for me? And he couldn't. He had to go and use machinery to open this jar. That's when she realized that he'd been gaslighting her.
But what a strange, like, passive aggressive way to behave. I mean, like, you can't just say, honey, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce. You go around every night, I'm going to tighten these fucking jars. I mean, like, that's a level of crazy that I'm so glad I'm single. Anyway, here's the rest of this list. Taking offense is not being triggered, right? And also, let's just remember, you take offense. Nobody gives you offense. If you decided to take offense, that's on you.
You missed one up there. Conflict is not abuse.
Oh, right.
Again, abuse is something you're going to remember for the rest of your life.
Right.
Conflict's going to happen every day.
Right. Everything does not need to be normalized. Yes, that's also true. I see loads of people on the internet saying, let's normalize whatever. And maybe the reason it's not normalized is because it's not normal. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, I've spoken on this show 1,000 times about how we should bring back shame. Like, people have no shame anymore. They do. You've got grown men who walk around dressed like babies in America.
Mm.
and people who dress as My Little Ponies. And you're like, that should never be normalized. That should always be weird and laughable. And we should always shame people who do that. It shouldn't be normalized. And then the last one, speaking, I love this. This is my favorite one of the whole lot. Speaking like an HR memo is not self-awareness. You know, I am a 34-year-old male who's experienced in information technology. I have a bubbly personality and am very adaptable to change. What I really love is to be motivated by a group of colleagues who love being motivated. That's my dream, is to work in your corporation behind your desk number 42 and type away at a keyboard until I get to go home and the bell rings at 5.
Oh, you're so self-aware.
That's it, right? So you get people who do this. They talk like an HR member or like one of those personality tests. Yeah.
Mm.
I am a communicator specialist. You're like, yeah, that's why you sound like AI. You're not.
An office orderly consultant.
Exactly, yeah.
Organizational office.
Terrible. Consultant. Women wearing basically their underwear to the gym. Why has that been normalized? Says Matt. Well, Matt, I'm not complaining about that, but if you have a big problem with that, go for it. Whackhead pranked, I think he means pranked. He said, pranced an oak. Last week, who speaks higher English? It was hilarious. Bitcoin Boot, I don't think you should listen to us anymore. First of all, if you're listening to Whackhead, let's keep it that way, all right? You stay away from us. I'm not begging for people to come and listen here. Like I always say, we're the audience that counts. We're not the audience that you count. Okay. Mm. Like if you find pranks on the radio fun, you're stuck in 1994 and it's maybe best that you go back to that. Also, what is higher English?
And maybe that was part of it.
Spell it pranked. Go and look that up. You're embarrassing yourself here with all the other people.
Just try again.
Yeah. Try harder. Okay. Do more. Do better. Jittery Cursor says, Leanne, have you seen Nick Avocado's weight loss?
Yes.
Who's Nick Avocado?
He was that guy who...
is that really his surname?
Probably not, but his content is related to eating food. Maybe it sounded like avocado and he changed it to avocado, or that's just his pseudonym. But he was an average-looking guy and then started with these online challenges of eating things. And started to put on weight, and then he went straight into that, what's it called, mukbang, where you literally shove.
You have all the sounds of the eating.
Yeah, but he became grotesquely obese and looked like he was about to kill over. And that's the last we heard of him. He kind of stopped every now and again, would post something, but would get even bigger. And then people thought he must have just died. Now he's made this incredible return, where the first video you see is somebody who you think you recognize, but he's skinny and doing these weird dances and things and saying, I fooled you. So apparently for a year now in the background, there he is.
Jesus Christ.
Or 4 years in the background, he's been losing weight.
Look at that thing on the left. Is that the same guy?
It's the same guy.
The fuck's going on with his mouth? Is that sauce?
It could be sauce. But
what is that? It's sauce.
It could be sauce or just wipe like
your
pimples.
Face, you fat mongoloid.
And he's been losing weight in the meantime and pulled the wool over everyone's eyes who thought that maybe he'd just fallen off the edge of the planet or died.
And that one on the right's meant to be an improvement? Go back to that picture. Okay, it's an improvement. I mean,
he's back to normal now.
Anything's an improvement from the one on the left. I mean, what is that? Is that a facial expression or... what's going on with his bottom lip there? That looks like it looks like a ball bag or something.
It's just because he's pressing his mouth together.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
I can't do that. You try and do that. Do it. James, can you do that?
I'm not even gonna try.
Looks like a ball bag and a
But if you think that's the worst of him, then that's not. I mean, his whole body's
it's disgusting.
But anyway, it's apparently meant to be massive feat that he's achieved by tricking the whole world.
Okay, well, I didn't even know that guy existed until now. Mm. And you know what? I'll go back to that life in a minute. That's how good this morning's going for me. I'm having a happy time. Nothing's going to stop me. James, what do you got for us? Look at James, all casual in the shorts. Summer's coming, huh?
I like the summer. No,
it's good.
I hate wearing jeans.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm very happy that you're here to give us the sport. I saw Ben was away for the weekend.
He was.
Is it some like bachelor party weekend or whatever?
Dudes weekend, yeah.
Yeah. Playing golf. I mean, can you imagine anything worse than going away with a bunch of guys and playing golf?
Yeah.
Ugh. Honestly, I'd rather stay at home on my own.
Golf's not my sport either.
No, I know, and listen, I know I'm going to get a lot of heat from people. Like, oh, well, golf's fun. You're just an idiot. I may be. I've never really caught on. I'm too scared to even try anything with golf because if I like it, then I might be reeled in. So I've also stayed away from paddle, by the way.
Well, what's wrong with liking it, though?
What if I like it and then it
takes
up...
He doesn't like liking things that are popular and liked by other people. No,
he's a hipster.
No, Leanne.
Like standing mugs.
No, Leanne, you're full of it. I know if I get into like paddle, for example, because everybody I know is now into paddle. I'm the last man standing. Not that there's a matter of any pride to do with that, right? But I know if I get into it, what if I love it? What if I end up doing it every day, twice a day? How could I justify that much wasted time?
But it's not wasted time because you're doing something healthy and outdoorsy.
Oh, I don't know, James. It scares the hell out of me, man.
That's such a weird
The real network is we're starting to do paddle team building.
So you guys are playing every other weekend.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Are you any good?
I'm getting there. I learned fast how to play. And it's quite a lot of fun, actually. I like it. It's better than tennis, which I don't like that much. We're going to do sport, though.
Okay, I'll introduce you. Gareth, not everyone is a hermit like you, Bushveld Butt says.
Bushful.
Yeah, that's true. I'm very hermity, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Ass golf is not popular, though.
Or maybe ass, comma.
Golf.
Yeah, because ass golf...
I don't know about ass golf.
Yeah, I mean, that everyone plays in their home every day.
Do they?
Ass golf, of course.
Oh.
You not played ass golf?
Another sport I haven't caught on to yet. Goon says, paddle is the saddest sport I've ever encountered.
Paddle is so fun.
Why is it sad?
You need to be fairly bored, says Hugh G-Rection, or hate your life at home to play golf.
Oof. I can agree.
Gareth, if you like paddling, it's okay. In a few years, the sheep will find a new hobby to do, says Bitcoin Boots. Bitcoin Bud's back with a vengeance. And then someone called me at Farith. Not at Gareth.
Farith.
All right, let's get to some sport. Here's James. He's got a quick update on everything that happened over the weekend. Tell us what we need to know, James.
What an exciting weekend for the rugby once again.
Yes.
We beat the
I believe we played a match in what, Cape Town?
We did.
I heard something about that.
We did. It was a little bit of a big deal.
I heard something about
it. We beat them for the fourth time consecutively.
Apparently we got something called the Freedom Cup or whatever. You only get that when you beat New Zealand four times.
So we won the Nelson Mandela Trophy against Australia, and then now we've also won the Freedom Cup. All we have to do now is win the Rugby Championship. We are well on our way at the very top of the log after beating New Zealand yesterday 18-12. Argentina beat Australia 67-27.
Jeez, Australia really toilet, eh?
It's not going well for them. They lost to us first in both their games, and now Argentina's having fun with them. So they're not having the best time. The next couple of fixtures for the Rugby Championship, Australia are taking on New Zealand on the 21st of September, and then South Africa take on the Argentinians also on the 21st. And then also, after waiting 15 long years, the Springboks finally completed a clean sweep over New Zealand in the Rugby Championship, completing an 18-12 victory to reclaim the Freedom Cup, a trophy they last held in 2009. So
very good.
Been a minute.
My brother was at my parents' house this weekend, and I popped in to see them, and he remarked that his 10-year-old son has never seen the Springboks lose a World Cup.
Hmm.
Imagine that life. That is crazy.
Yeah, so the kid's obviously going to grow up thinking that they're indestructible.
It's going to hit him hard one day.
Yeah, one day when they lose, it's going to really upset him. So I suddenly thought about this. I'm like, wow, he's 10 years old and he's never seen them lose a World Cup, and that's a cool thing.
Maybe we should keep him humble and make him watch like Bafana games just to know that.
Oh, yeah, no, he knows what shit looks like. He's seen the Proteas. He's seen the Proteas in action. Don't worry.
There was also Curry Cup action this weekend. The Greek Wiz took on Western Province. They won 37-29. The Lions took on the Griffins. They won 62-5. Pumas, they took on Free State. 41-14 to the Free State there. And then Sharks took on the Bulls. The Sharks winning 24-18 on that one. Then there was international football this weekend. There was no club football. UEFA Nations League on Friday, France took on Italy. Huge upset of the weekend was Italy winning that game 3-1. England beat Ireland 2-0. Germany beat Hungary 5-0. And then there was also football last night. There's so much football at the moment. It brings me so much joy. Spain took on Switzerland. They won 4-1. A red card also in that game. Portugal took on Scotland. They won 2-1. And then Croatia, they took on Poland 1-0 there for Croatia taking that game. Tonight, there's more football. Tomorrow, there's more football. We love all of it. England are taking on Finland, and the Netherlands are taking on Germany, which is very exciting. AFCON, speaking of Bafana Bafana, they took on Uganda on Friday night.
Do you want to just leave this out?
I want to know. Tell me.
Go on.
I wanted to, but...
I'd just leave it. If I were you, I'd left it
they
out.
They took on Uganda. They drew 2-2. An undeserving 2-2, though. They did deserve the win.
What, did like five people watch that game?
Probably. Probably.
Yeah.
But two very hard goals conceded by Bafana Bafana. Goals that shouldn't have happened. So a tough game for them. They take on South Sudan tomorrow, though. Reignite that AFCON qualifier spirit and hopefully beat South Sudan somehow. And then the Paralympics closed this weekend also.
Guys. Yes.
Did anyone watch it much?
All you need to do is watch the Paralympics channel on TikTok. It's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't get into it, hey.
But we've come back with 6 medals, I think.
We have. So on the medal table, 6 medals for us. 2 gold, 0 silver, and 4 bronze.
That's nice. Amazing. Listen, well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's terrific. I didn't watch it. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you, oh, it was captivating like the Olympics was. And it just wasn't. I didn't get into it. And I'm a huge admirer of the courage of the people who enter these things, who learn to do stuff. I think last week on the show, I said there's that one woman who was like doing archery with her feet.
Yes.
And I think that's phenomenal. It's just beyond belief that someone can
overcome having no
arms and shoot a bow and arrow with their feet. But
there's no reason to explain why you didn't get into one sporting event, but you watched the other.
No, but you know what? People will say, oh, no, but you don't like disabled people, you know.
Sometimes watching a woman's sport can be boring compared to watching men play that sport.
You don't have to feel guilty about that.
You're allowed.
Vicious. You nasty, vicious. How dare you, chauvinist?
How dare you?
Just let down every single woman in the world.
Guys, we did win some medals at the Paralympics, 6 of them.
Mm.
And I've got a little bit of like a breakdown of where we've won them and how many. Mpulelo Mplongo, he won 2 medals in the men's 100, the men's 200. Simone Kruger, she broke a world record. This was last night, actually.
Uh-huh.
She broke a world record in the discus, which is really, really cool. That was women's discus, obviously. And then Luzane Kutsia, para-athletic, she won a medal. Nicholas Peter Dupria, he won a medal in road cycling, a bronze medal. Donald Rampardi, he won a medal in wheelchair tennis. And if I'm not mistaken, that was South Africa's first medal in wheelchair tennis at the Olympics.
Good.
That happened last week. And then Lucas Sithole, he also won that medal along with Donald Rampardi in the...
All right, we're going to get to Dr. Hanan. Hurry up.
That's it. That's all my sport.
Thank you.
Paralympics.
Thank you. There we go. A little bit of James. Just enough of James for the morning. Some sport to whet your appetite. But now over to Dr. Hanan, who's going to help us deal with change, because this is something most people are not very comfortable with. Some people say that they're good with dealing with change, but they're not really.
Mm, some people say it's traumatic, but it's not.
I know. I know. And you know, they also say that there are a couple of things that are the most deranging of the changes that can happen in your life. Obviously, death, divorce, moving house, And the fourth one, which doesn't really have to do with change, it's public speaking.
No, it's not.
I promise you.
Is that the fourth
thing? Those are the four things that people are the most afraid of. They've done survey after survey. It turns out that people are most afraid of death, divorce, moving house, and
public speaking.
These are the things that drive people, that make create the most stress in people. So three of those four have to do with change, you know, changing a relationship that you've been in for a long time, like a marriage. Moving house, obviously, that has all of the hallmarks of like quite dramatic change for people. And then the other one is death, because it brings about a permanent change. So let's go to Dr. Hanan. Hey, Doc. You there?
Hey, Gareth.
Ah, how's it?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. Nice new setting. How are you feeling on the couch?
You know what? I feel like I'm about to get psychologized here. Is that how this works? Because people's whole attitude changes when they're on a couch, right? So this is how you guys work. You make them relax.
Absolutely. So how does it make you feel?
I know where this is going. I got to ask you something. You weren't here last week. You had a holiday, which is something that never happens to Dr. Hanan. So are you feeling rested and rejuvenated and re-energized?
I am feeling rested. It has been an incredible trip. I went to England, and I've never been before. It was a beautiful experience, and I encourage anybody that can and should and is can afford to travel. It opens your eyes, perspective. You get to meet people and see things that you're not used to. So it's wonderful.
So how's Londonistan? I mean, it's a wonderful place.
Yeah. That's
I'd say Pretoria is more English at this point than England, but okay.
I saw less English people than foreigners. It's filled with foreigners, but listen, the mix of culture and people and beauty. I mean, it was just in history. It was just incredible.
No, it is. It's lovely. I'm very glad that you had a break, because I know that you don't often get time off. So let's get into this thing of change, because I feel like there are probably people listening to us and watching us this morning who are going through a big change. Some people seem to be better at dealing with it than others. What is the surefire way to deal with change positively and get through it and be able to make your life better after change?
So first of all, just a little bit of context. Change is difficult for everybody, and to your point, which I'd like to address, some people are better able to deal with change compared to others. I'll deal with that in a second, but the brain is really responsible, the subconscious mind is responsible to ensure your survival.
Yeah.
And for ever since the start of evolution, we've survived with stability and consistency and predictability. The moment you insert unpredictability, inconsistency, then we don't know what comes up next. We can't prepare, and therefore we don't survive. So we really like consistency. We really like things to stay the same.
Yeah.
So to your point, how come some people like change more than others? Because that is their consistent. That is their stable. So in other words, if I take a person that grows up in an unstable environment, inconsistent environment, an environment that is constantly changing, that becomes their familiar, and that's what you are used to. So when you watch somebody like gravitate towards chaos, and you go, well, how come they feel much more comfortable with chaos? It's because they are feeling comfortable with their familiar. So they still don't like change. So for them, change will be stability. Change will be consistency. So no brain likes anything other than what it's used to. The question is, and that is fine. The problem is we're fighting another force, is that we want stability and we want consistency. But on the other hand, if we stay too long in our comfort zone, we get depressed. So the more you stay with what you know, the more the brain feels the toxicity of depression, and therefore it needs to step out. So we all need to embrace change. Now, there's two things that I'll say. Number one is that change is not easy for anybody. So the moment you embrace change, just understand that it's not going to be easy. But I've always said you can feel scared and brave at the same time. The second thing that I'll say is that choose your change wisely. You don't have to change absolutely everything in your life. You don't have to be brave or a martyr or a hero for no reason. So pick the different environments in your life where you feel that you're stuck in, where you're not getting to the desired goals, and start experimenting with small, gradual change. So you don't have to jump from level zero to level 10. You can cook the frog gently and go from level zero to level one, feel comfortable with that, move to level two, and so on and so forth. So one, expect it to be difficult. Challenge, a change is challenging for anybody, and do it gradually.
I love that. Mm. I also never thought about it that for people who have chaos in their life and are raised or grow up in complete chaos, that for them, that is the constant.
Mm.
I didn't think about it that way. I was like, oh, well, people surely want order. And they don't. Like, there are a lot of people who, like, order is the thing that scares them, not chaos.
It's so strange. It's almost, you have to accept it as a cycle. You know, it's like tidying, thinking to yourself, I've got to get this house tidy. The stuff is driving me mad.
Yeah.
I don't know where everything is. I need order. And so you do it. And then you sit back and you go, but now I'm bored. And as you say, that's where the depression comes in. And you start looking for, I need something interesting in my life. So you can't just go the one way all the time. It is a bit of a cycle, it seems.
What happens is,
Doc, you said you don't have to make all the changes at once. You have to, you know, like implement small changes incrementally, and that's good enough. Give me an example, because I'm trying to think of like someone who feels very stuck in life and they're not going anywhere and they're not getting anything done. And I wonder how, for so many people, it's just impossible for them to break out of that thing because it just looks too audacious, right? It's too big.
Right.
But all they need to do is maybe change one part of their routine and then slowly bring in other things.
Right. So what I heavily subscribe to is the following formula. So I'll tell you where the kind of the normal consensus or the general consensus has always been. People, and you read it in books, they'll say discipline equals results. Discipline equals results. So do things consistently and you'll get the results, which sounds right.
Yeah.
But there's an element in that formula that's missing, because every book will tell you that discipline equals results. So you want to be healthier, you got to be disciplined. You want to be in a better relationship, you got to be disciplined. You want to earn more, you want to be financially secure, you want to have a sense of purpose, you got to be disciplined. But no book will tell you, how do you generate that discipline? Where does discipline come from? And this formula has completely transformed my life, and I hope that it will make a difference to yours too. Discipline is predicated on a well-defined, pre-planned framework or blueprint. So the actual formula is not discipline equals results. It's actually blueprint plus discipline equals result. It's the blueprint. It's the framework that the discipline lies on that eventually creates results. So go and write it down. For those of you who are listening, write down blueprint plus discipline equals result, because you can't be disciplined without a framework. You can't be disciplined without a blueprint. Think about building a house with a blueprint. Think about building a house without a blueprint. Think about running a business with a blueprint.
What is the blueprint?
That's the key.
So
that's the right question. Exactly. 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 So a blueprint, we can define it as not to get too technical, but it's a vision, it's a goal, and it's a strategy. It's your dream. It's what do I want and how do I get there? And that applies to every element and facet of your life. Now, if somebody is not disciplined, the common consensus is because, well, they're being lazy. It's not because they're being lazy. It's because their blueprint isn't good enough. So the moment you create a well-defined blueprint, anybody could be disciplined. I can take the worst ADHD child and put them in front of a Lego instruction manual, and they could sit for hours and hours and hours and be super disciplined. Why? Because the blueprint, the framework, the manual is well-defined. So the rule is, the more difficult a discipline is, the more you want to define the blueprint more specifically. The easier a blueprint, the easier a discipline is, the more you can give yourself permission for the blueprint to be pixelated and very broad. So just as an analogy, if somebody is a gym fanatic and I give them a very general blueprint, go to the gym 3 times a week, they'll outdo me. They will go to the gym on Monday and Tuesday, twice a Wednesday, on Thursday, they'll outdo me. But if I take somebody that's never seen a gym in their lives and I give them a very general blueprint, such as go to the gym 3 times a week, forget about it. It will never happen. For them, I have to be way more defined. Sunday, I'm coming to your house. We're packing a bag. We're putting in your boot. Monday, I've got a gym session. I'm picking you up between 7:30 and 8. I've already paid the personal trainer 6 weeks in advance. Tuesday, it's got to be that well defined because the discipline is much harder. So to answer your question, Gareth, what does it mean a framework, and give you an example of how specific you need to be? Well, it depends on how difficult a particular discipline is. The easier it is, the more pixelated you can be, the more difficult the discipline is, the more well-defined the blueprint has to be. But we do not blame the person. We blame the blueprint, the framework. And people will say, I'll say one more thing. People will say, Bakhanan, if you're not blaming the person, are you not allowing them to abdicate responsibility? And the answer is no, it's the opposite. Because the moment you blame yourself, oh, I'm too lazy, oh, I've got ADHD, oh, I've got anxiety, it's my genetic makeup, my mom used to do this, my dad used to do this, therefore I'm like that. Now you are justifying why you should be a victim. But the moment you blame the blueprint, now the responsibility is on you to go and correct and define the blueprint in more specific terms to allow you to be disciplined in order to create results.
Love it. I think this is terrific. Okay, so today's a day for blueprints, as far as I can
tell. Absolutely.
Spring cleaning.
No question.
Blueprint day. I love it.
And you know who can help with that?
Who?
ChatGPT. Not being funny, but it can break down.
Very much. Very much.
If you say, write a list of what I need to do this, you can say, break it down further, break it down further, break it down further until it's at your level.
Absolutely.
I like it. So here we go. We bring together AI, which this morning I decided was quite stupid in a number of ways, but useful AI, and Dr. Hanan, a human who actually has intelligence, not artificial intelligence. Okay, I love it. We got lots of work to do. Enjoy your Monday, Doc.
Love it, guys. You too, guys. See you.
Very good.
Bye.
And that is Dr. Hanan bringing our first hour to close this morning. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. We've got a great guest popping in. He also happens to be a psychologist. He is saying stuff about retirement, which we all need to listen to, because even if you're 20 and you haven't thought about retirement at all, this guy will completely change your ideas about what you should be thinking about, planning your life, what you want to do, where you want to go. I think it'll be fascinating. I'm going to talk to him in just a short while. Don't go anywhere.